Welcome to Talks from the Bible, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Many people engage in bodily exercise. They engage in such so that they might prolong life and ensure better health. The Scripture says that bodily exercise profits little, because regardless of how much time we spend in exercise, the body will grow old. The organs of the body will decay, and the time will eventually come when we shall die. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness has promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. It is the design and the desire of God that we exercise in godliness. We are to seek to become godly. We are to strive to be godly. We are to engage in those spiritual activities that will promote godliness in our life. Godliness is to be a pursuit of life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Paul addresses Timothy as a man of God. As a man of God, he is to flee certain things. These are earthly things. These are engagements that will lead to sinfulness and will deter our pursuit of godliness. As a man of God, we are to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. This is to be our pursuit of life. We become a man of God through obedience to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we become a man of God. As a man of God, we are to deny ourselves the pleasures of earth, and we are to follow after those spiritual activities that will promote godliness in our life. 2 Peter 1, verse 6. Peter speaks of those divine graces that identify the character of God, and that we are to add these virtues to our life as the elect of God. To knowledge, temperance; to temperance, patience; and to patience, godliness. Here the Apostle Peter identifies godliness as that attribute or character of God that we are to desire and that we are to pursue. God has given us a design for godliness. At 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, Paul writes concerning what he calls the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is a plan that God has designed and that God has promoted through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The writer says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Concerning the coming and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his ascension into heaven was to promote godliness in our life. God has given a design for godliness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. He has been preached unto the Gentiles. And as a result of preaching, Jesus Christ has been believed on in the world. And after his death and resurrection from the grave, he was received up into glory. This is God's design of godliness. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has provided everything that is needful for us to become godly and to pursue godliness in our life. God's divine power has delivered unto us everything that we need to know, everything that we need to do, so that we might become godly. This attainment of godliness is through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We are to know Jesus Christ. Jesus has called us to glory. He has called us to virtue. And through a knowledge and understanding of him, we can attain unto the attribute of godliness. There is a doctrine or a standard that has been delivered from God so that we become godly. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. There is a doctrine that will not produce godliness. This is the teaching of men. We are not to follow the teachings or standards of men. We are to follow the teachings of God. We are to consent to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God must be carefully studied and analyzed. We must compare the teaching of God to the teachings of men. We must not follow nor hear the teachings of men, but rather we must follow the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, are according to godliness. If we follow the Bible, we can become godly. If we will obey the Word of God, we can become godly. Let us hear the Word of God rather than the teachings of men. Let us study the Bible and learn the Bible and obey the Bible so that we might become godly individuals and have that hope of everlasting life with God the Father. God has given an incentive for godliness. 2 Peter 3:11, seeing that in that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter is describing the universe in 2 Peter 3. He describes the creation of God, and he shows us how that this creation will be destroyed in fire. There is an hour coming when God will bring destruction to the universe that he has created, and he will judge humanity for the lives that they have lived. The Apostle Peter said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the physical world in which we live, the universe of which we are a part, the creation of God which we see and know, will be dissolved. Knowing that all of this is going to be dissolved, that this temporal world is going to come to an end, we ought to be godly. We ought to walk in a holy manner of life. We ought to desire to be as God, because this universe is going to be destroyed and taken from us. We are to seek to be godly, exercise ourselves unto godliness. For the Apostle says in writing to young Timothy that godliness is profitable. What is the profit of godliness? What benefit does godliness present to us? Why should you and I exercise ourselves unto godliness? First, godliness restores our original position. Genesis 3 describes the fall of man. We see in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. They have been given a command not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They are told by God that in the day that they eat of this particular tree, they will die. They will be separated from God. We find in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil, in the form of a serpent, entered into that garden, enticed Eve to eat of the fruit of that tree, and then she gave to her husband Adam to eat. They discover that they are naked, that they are unclothed. They realize what they have done. They have trespassed God's law. They have fallen into the trespass of iniquity. And as a result, punishment will be passed upon them. God said, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will die. God's law is unchangeable, immutable. In Genesis 3, 23 and 24, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. As a result of the trespass, Adam and Eve were driven from the Garden of Eden. They were sent away from this paradise that God had created for them. Adam was going to have to toil the ground and with the sweat of his brow make a living. Eve was going to have pain in childbearing. They were going to reap the consequences of their transgression. Their original position was the Garden of Eden and fellowship with God. God walked in that garden in the cool of the evening. Adam and Eve had fellowship with God, but because of sin and transgression and iniquity and evil doing, they were separated from God. They were driven from the garden. They no longer enjoyed the fellowship of God. Godliness will restore us to our original position. All have sinned. All have been separated from God. We must be united with God once again. We must be reconciled unto God, become the friends of God rather than the enemies of God. In Romans 5 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Paul has discussed earlier in this epistle to the Romans, man's transgression, humanity's sin against God. And now Paul says, if we were enemies. When we were enemies. We are enemies of God because of sin. If we walk in iniquity, we are the enemy of God. If we transgress the law of God, we are the enemy of God. We are separated from God. We do not know God. We do not have fellowship with God. But while we were enemies, while we were in this state of separation, while we were in the bond of iniquity, we have been reconciled by the death of Jesus Christ. And as a result of this reconciliation, the apostle says we shall be saved by His life. God has sought to reconcile us to Himself. We must be reconciled unto God so that we are no longer the enemies of God, but the friends of God. We must desire to have that original position that we had with God, that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God in the very beginning of time. As Paul goes on from Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 through Romans chapter 6 at verse 22, he says, but now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. The apostle says that that original position with God can be restored. In Romans chapter 6, Paul discusses the great theme of baptism. He shows how we are baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how, as we come forth from baptism, we walk in newness of life. We have been recreated in Christ Jesus. We have been reborn in Christ Jesus. Baptism is a death, but baptism is also a birth, a resurrection into newness of life. We forsake the way of sin, and we have fruit unto holiness because we become the servants of God. And the end of our holy life, the result of our holy life, is everlasting life. We are to die to sin and be united with Jesus Christ in baptism, put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27, have our sins washed away in baptism, Acts 22:16, and we become restored to that original position. That is what godliness will accomplish for us. In Ephesians 2:12-13, that at that time you were without Christ. There was a time when those in Ephesus were without Christ. But in Acts chapter 19, the Ephesians have heard the gospel of Christ preached by the Apostle Paul. They have been baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of their sins, as is recorded in Acts chapter 19. And so now when Paul writes this epistle to the Ephesians, he said, there was a time when you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This was their state before they heard the gospel of Christ, before they were instructed in the mystery of godliness, where before the standard or the doctrine of Christ had been delivered unto them. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. They have been restored to that original position. What godliness will do for us is restore us to the original position with God. It will deliver us from the bondage of sin into the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have the forgiveness of our sins, the purging of our sins, the removal of our sins and our guilt, and we can stand in a saved relationship with God. Godliness prompts the seeking of God's will. As we die to sin and are delivered into a righteous state with God, we seek to know and do God's will. Godliness prompts us, it motivates us to do the will of God. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Rather than exercising ourselves in a physical way, we are to exercise ourselves in a spiritual way. We are to refuse profane and old wives' fables. They were to refuse to hear these superstitious presentations that were delivered unto them by men. And they were to exercise themselves unto godliness. They were to refuse to hear the doctrines of individuals, the superstitions of humanity, and they were to hear the Word of God and exercise themselves unto godliness. This is what we must do. As we seek to become godly, we desire to know the will of God. The will of God will make us godly. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Faith requires fighting because the devil desires that we are separated from God. The devil does not help us become godly. The devil desires that we be ungodly, and so there is a fight that is involved. We must fight the good fight of faith. We must overcome the devil. Lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life is not simply given to us. We must acquire it. We must lay hold upon it. We must secure it. We must hold on to it, because we can lose it. We can forfeit it. We can throw it away. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy had professed a good profession. We must confess Christ as the Son of God. With our mouth, we must confess what we believe in our heart, that Jesus is the Son of God. We are called to confess Christ. The gospel calls us to confess Christ. The gospel calls us to repent of sin. The gospel calls us to be baptized into Jesus Christ, where we lay hold on eternal life. Godliness prompts us to lay hold on eternal life as we seek to do the will of the Father. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How are we to live in the present world? Soberly, righteously, and godly. Because the grace of God has brought salvation. The grace of God has appeared to all men. But the grace of God instructs us, teaches us, that we must deny ungodliness. You remember Timothy was to flee these things, and he was to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, meekness, and patience. We must flee from sin, turn away from sin, and we must follow after and pursue godliness. We must strive to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, seeking to do the will of the Father, because we are pursuing godliness. We are striving to become like God and to promote in our life the attributes and the character of God Himself. The pursuit of godliness enhances the promise of life. God has promised life through godliness. The profit of godliness, it's profitable unto all things of the life that now is. It will make this life better, more enjoyable, more contented, and of the life that is to come. We have life now, but there is a life that is to come. There is life in this world, but there is life in the world to come. But we must pursue that life. And godliness enhances the promise of that life. In 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. God has given a promise of life in Christ Jesus. He promises that we can live eternally, that we can live everlastingly, that we can live in a place, in a home that is better and more superior, more enjoyable, more comfortable, without pain and without tears and without sorrow and without death in the world to come. That is God's promise to humanity. If you live for me, if you serve me, if you glorify me, I will give you life eternal. God fulfills His promise. Colossians 3:2 exhorts us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because this earth is passing. This earth is going to be consumed. Seeing that all these things shall be destroyed, what manner of persons ought you to be? We ought to be godly people because we know that there is a promise of life that is given to us. Romans 2:7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. We are to do well, to live well, because we seek for glory, honor, and immortality. We're seeking eternal life. We're pursuing godliness because we desire to live eternally with God. Titus 3 and verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Those who are justified by the grace of God have the promise of an eternal inheritance. We are heirs of the hope of eternal life. We pursue godliness finally because it ensures the attainment of the promise. God's promise is eternal life. God's promise is a heavenly home, not an earthly home. We're not going to remain on this earth forever. We're not going to live here very long. But we have a promise of a heavenly home. We have been made heirs of an eternal promise. And we must strive to attain that promise, to make certain and sure that we have that promise. John 12 and verse 25, Jesus said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Jesus is speaking of our separation from the world. We do not love the world, but rather we love our life in that we seek to save our life. We must not love our life to the point, we must not love our existence here to the point that we lose sight of the promise that God has made. We hate our life in this world because we have surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not seek to do only what we desire to do and fulfill our own selfish will and follow after our own selfish passions, but we follow after Christ. And Jesus has promised that we will keep it, our life, unto life eternal. If we have the priority of serving Christ and doing the will of Christ and seeking to become godly and promoting godliness in our life, we will keep our life unto life eternal. Even though we are separated from this world, we will have life eternal in that world to come. Romans 5, verse 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." What will Jesus Christ our Lord do for us? Jesus must become our Lord. He must become the one who dictates and governs how we live and what we do in this world, so that we have eternal life in the world to come. Grace, the grace of God, must reign in our life through righteousness unto eternal life. Grace produces righteousness in our life, and the result of that righteousness is eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the life of faith. Fight against the devil. Overcome the devil. Do not surrender your soul to the devil. Lay hold on eternal life. Do not be consumed by this world. Do not worry about how many years you're going to live and how you're going to die and when you're going to die, but lay hold on eternal life. "Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession among many witnesses." The design and the desire of God for humanity is that we pursue a life of godliness so that we can live eternally with God. Godliness ensures the attainment of the promise that God has made, enhances the promise of life that God has made for us. It prompts the seeking of our will because we are restored to our original position of fellowship and reconciliation with God. We know God as Father. We know God as Savior. We know Christ as Redeemer. We know Christ as Lord. And we exercise ourselves unto godliness. We spend our life in this world striving to become godly as God, so that we have that and secure that hope of eternal life in the world to come. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.